this has been a complete 360 from, or actually 180 from last year, all of the Canadian teams missing out on the postseason for the first time since 1970. And now we have the potential of five Canadian teams, five of the seven, making it to the dance. And like, is there one team that surprises you the most right now at this point in the season, Ryan?
I would say, based on where they are, probably Ottawa, but I will pat myself on the back and say I always thought they had a little more, like when people kind of were dismissive, like not a playoff team, I was like, I don't know about that. Yeah. I thought they'd be in the playoff mix. I didn't necessarily think they'd be in the first in the division mix. And they have two games against the Canadians this weekend, back to back. And if they win them both, they'll be in the driver's seat because they'll have a game in hand as well on Montreal. So I would say Ottawa probably surprises the most, especially in terms of how they're getting it done. If you told me their offense was going to be more of a like bottom third offense as opposed to a top third offense, I would have said maybe Ottawa was in for a long year, but they've really tightened up under Guy Boucher. You know, the man knows how to protect the net and how to get the most out of his teams in terms of defensive hockey. Obviously, you know, when we're living in a world where Erik Karlsson is, I believe, the leading shot blocker in the NHL, something has changed in Ottawa. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a temptation to say Edmonton because you weren't going to believe it till you saw it, but
yeah,
we all believed in Connor McDavid that much that the idea that they would make the playoffs and his what we'll call his first full season because he missed almost half the year last year. It's not that surprising. And Calgary, there's some really nice pieces there. Nice pieces. And I just look at their defense and think, well, really, whose defense would you take over Calgary? Maybe Nashville?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of another one. So while the other teams register as, you know, kind of like, oh, okay, well, good for them, I would say, given that Ottawa could actually win his division, that's the biggest surprise of the teams that are in. I think we still have to say the fact that, as we touched on, I mean, we talked about the Leafs. The fact that the Leafs are in it, that's sure, that's the biggest one. But of the other guys, I'm saying I think Ottawa is, I would say, the most eyebrow raising to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ottawa really underperformed last season. I mean, you looked at that team and you thought, I mean, obviously all Canadian teams underperformed last season, but I think it's been quite remarkable to watch what's happened under Boucher and how they've evolved into this team that's you know quite good. And I mean, I think that's been a you know real great storyline this year. But also the Calgary Flames, I'm curious about what's happened there. I mean, because at the beginning of the season, you kind of look at it and thought, oh no, this isn't going to go right.
Yeah.
But I mean, and they just came off a 10-game winning streak. I mean, like, what's going on?
Brian Elliott really, really turned a corner there. And I mean, that situation, you have to give Chad Johnson credit because he stabilized things when it could have gone way off the rails early on. And I mean, you know, the history of Brian Elliott is in a system where he plays 40 to 45 games, he can be very good. And we'll see what happens when the playoffs come around. But basically, they got just enough time for things to snap into place for Elliott. And now he's been playing great. But I mean, beyond that, I don't think many people realize what a good player Michael Backlund has become, a real good two-way player. You look at Calgary, they have 12 guys with 10 goals or more. So they're spreading it out. And at the top of that chart, they have two players in Gaudreau and Monahan who can really make a difference. I mean, sometimes it's scoring by committee without a lead horse. They've kind of got scoring by committee, but with two guys who can really, really, really lead the charge. And, you know, Gaudreau, obviously the contract early on, and then he was out of he was hurt with hand injury, I want to say, around early December. I mean, we're talking about Marner being the Patrick Kane, while Johnny Gaudreau deserves every bit as much of those comparisons in terms of what he can do offensively. So I really like the mix that they have there. And I mean, if you were just to narrow it down to the two Alberta teams, which if there is a hockey god, will play each other in the first round, would be super fun. But I like Calgary's potential to win a round or two. in the playoffs, a little more than Edmonton's.
Well, I mean, if you're getting the goaltending that you are for Brian Elliott right now, I mean, yeah, you're going to do good things. And he has been basically on fire since the beginning of February, finally turning his season around after it got pretty, pretty ugly. I mean, you remember, I think it was the end of January, they went through a stretch where they were just getting plastered by teams on a nightly basis. I think they lost four or five in a row, and they were giving up like three or four goals in the first period. And then since then, you heard on Hockey Central earlier this week, the big beer story, which was pretty good from Glenn Gullitson, just getting the team, getting the boys together and getting them to relax a little bit. As for the Senators, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is a more of a bigger picture kind of thing, and like what I want hockey to look like and what I wish hockey looked like on a more nightly basis. But Guy Boucher just sucked the life out of that team. You know, like to a certain extent, like, yeah, they sucked last year, but they were fun. You know, like they allowed like 250 goals. They scored 240. This year, they're like, I think they've only allowed 175 goals. Like the improvement in goals allowed is drastic. But I mean, I guess it still goes to the point, as much as we want to talk about offense and as much as shot rates and Corsi and possession and all those things, strong defensive structure can still get you a long way in the National Hockey
League. Well, and it leads to offense too, because it means you get the puck back on your stick. And when you have someone like Erik Karlsson in the defensive zone, you can quickly jump on the attack, right? And to Boucher's credit, I mean, we know as much as things have changed when we're talking about Karlsson being a shot blocker, like it's not like he tried to turn him into Rob Ramage or anything. I mean, he right off the hop was like, I understand this is a special talent and this man is going to be given largely free rein to do what he wants. So I think at the end of the day, it's still a situation where it's easier to teach a group of people how to play tight defensively than to turn them all into goal scorers. And until that flips, and it's never going to, you feel like you're always going to be able to raise the minimum up by playing strong defensive hockey. And yeah, you nailed it. I mean, Ottawa had some success, make the playoffs, you know, on a miracle run a couple years ago. They had some punch, but they didn't have a lot of structure. And that's what Boucher has brought. And, you know, unfortunately, the sell of we're going to, we might not be that good, but we're going to be a lot of fun, probably wasn't going to get you hired by Dorion or Eugene Melnyk.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, is it worried? Do you have any concerns though with a guy like Karlsson blocking that many shots? I mean, what happens to this team if Karlsson were right. to block a shot?
He better
the wrong
be
way?
Squaring up. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Make sure he's got the shin pads turned towards it as opposed to the back of the leg or whatever. I'm sure that's somewhat in the back of people's mind. Yes.
Dan Riccio with Ryan Dixon and Dan Robson on the Sportsnet Hot Stove. The other big Canadian team, obviously Montreal. I mean, they're in the playoffs. They've been there for a long time, and they seem pretty comfortable in their own skin. But the Edmonton Oilers, is it just Connor McDavid, and Cam Talbot to a certain extent?
I was going to say, don't forget about Cam Talbot.
Like it feels like, and you know, I watch as much Connor McDavid as I possibly can, but I'm not staying up late every night to do it. But he is just like, he is that special. And I know over on sportsnet.ca, there's a pretty good piece up right now. I think it's from Andrew Berkshire, who's saying we haven't even seen his breakout season yet, and he's basically leading the league in scoring right now. I feel like this team is propped up a lot by McDavid, and they're getting a good year out of Patrick Maroon. Again, that might be McDavid, but other things have kind of not gone well. You know, like the Milan Lucic signing looks like just the worst contract in the NHL over the next 7 years to come. But I guess you'll take it if McDavid is going to carry this team like the way he is.
And let's throw Draisaitl in the mix there too, because right, he is an outstanding player. But yes, when I look at the difference between Calgary and Edmonton, again, just grouping them because they're young Alberta teams, I mean, the defense in Edmonton still just not anywhere near what they have going on in Calgary, and not near the balance. I mean, they're definitely being driven far more by one guy. I mean, you know, Patrick Maroon doing a wonderful job, and hey, full marks, because not everyone can blend with a player as like McDavid or like a Crosby. I mean, we've seen it with guys where we think it's just going to work and it doesn't, but that's right. I mean, it's not like we're sitting here saying they're, you know, being driven by a guy who we suspect if he was playing anywhere else would probably have half the goals that he has, right? So yes, it's very Connor-centric, but I will still say I think they're moving in the right direction, and you're seeing guys like Nurse come along, and you know, again, don't forget that the, you know, goaltending has been just a black hole in Edmonton for so long. So the fact Cam Talbot's a 920 goalie, that's a big deal, really big deal. And hey, man, we can't hold it against you that you have the best player on planet Earth or the co-best player on planet Earth. He's on your team, and you know, you're entitled to those results. I think what we really just want to see is McDavid in the playoffs, and it basically all but assured that that's going to happen. So that's great for the league and Edmonton and Canadian hockey.
But how far away do you think Edmonton are from being a team that we see in a final? I mean, you have the future. I mean, you have the present and the future on your team. What? How far are they?
I mean, I think that's a fair question because, I mean, look at Nugent Hopkins and you think, what could you even get for him at this point? Because there was a time where you lived in a world where you thought if they could start trading, if they traded a couple of the other guys for guys who address needs, then maybe it all came together. But when you see what they could get for Taylor Hall, which is, that's what they could get for Taylor Hall. It's not like Chiarelli woke up and said, I think I'll just try one phone call and see what I get. I mean, they beat the bushes and they came up with Adam Larson, which, you know, is fine, but isn't, as we all know, based on the freakout that happened, it isn't commensurate with what people think you'd get for Hall. And Hall's really good. Now you're looking at, like, what are you going to get for 14-goal Jordan Eberle? What are you going to get for Nugent Hopkins, who might not even get 40 points this year and make $6 million?
Yeah.
So those contracts, all of a sudden, you're looking at thinking, like, I don't want to say salary dump, but I can't imagine people are anywhere near, you know, ready to pony up for those players. So it, I do think it's a legit question of how are they going to fill this out?
They still need defense. And
they still need defense. And
They're very much like the Leafs in that sense. McDavid's going to carry this team to a lot of playoff appearances over the next couple of years. And, you know, the old saying goes, like, the generational players, they always seem to win a cup. I still think McDavid needs a little bit of help, especially on that back end. And if Nurse really turns into a special player on the back end, then maybe that takes them to the next step. But right now, yeah, I mean, you traded one of the best left wingers in the league for a top four defenseman. Like, that's no offense to Adam Larson, but that's kind of what he is. He's not.
You weren't going to get Drew Doughty, right?
Exactly. So, and it's what they needed, and it's working to this point. So, you'll stomach it for now. But yeah, it's tough with Edmonton because McDavid and Draisaitl and Cam Talbot, they're doing so many good things for that team. But it still feels like they're not a Stanley Cup contender just yet.
There definitely feels like there's a harder ceiling on where Edmonton can go versus, you know, Calgary and you know, maybe even based a little bit on conference, where, I mean, would I be surprised if the Senators or Canadians won two playoff rounds? Not really. I'd be surprised if Edmonton won two playoff rounds.
You almost feel bad though for Edmonton fans to have the best player in the league and to see them cursed to being a middling franchise for a couple of years at least. I mean, it's just I'd be like in a series between them and Calgary, I'd be on Team Oiler for sure.
Yeah, like, I mean, and just in the salary cap world, like what Chiarelli's done with some of those bigger contracts. I mean, you just wonder how that's going to affect the way they build that team around McDavid.
And guess who needs a new deal after next year?
Exactly, and that's lesson for Leaf fans. Like, those entry level deals, they come up quick. So don't count on paying Marner, Matthews, and Nylander $800K for the next couple of years. Or for very much longer. It's gonna go by real, real quick.